The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
That Liam Neeson movie, Cold Pursuit, the one that he got into all the trouble about when he was doing his promotions for it, is out. We're going to discuss that with Dee Malumby from entertainment.ie and Roe McDermott, movie editor with Hot Press. But do we have a clip? We don't actually have a clip of this Liam Neeson movie. Are we missing much by not having a clip of it?
It was too violent. You couldn't play a clip.
A lot of blood splatter and a lot of curse words. So I'm not really surprised. Yeah.
Okay. What's it like? What's it about?
So story-wise, very basically, it's a revenge type of thriller. Liam Neeson plays a dad yet again, who is now looking, he works as a snowplow driver and he's looking for revenge after his son is killed. He's out to get the drug dealers who he believes are responsible for his death. Now, I do have to admit that going into this film, I was like, oh, this is going to be another Taken movie. And believe it or not, Taken is actually 10 years old at this point, which is crazy. He's actually been doing these kind of movies for about 10 years now. We're all getting a bit sick of this. But in fairness, Cold Pursuit was a lot funnier and a lot smarter than I thought it would be. And it's much less like Taken and more akin to something like Taxi Driver by Martin Scorsese, or even Wind River a few years ago, or the Coen brothers' Fargo.
Yeah, I think that's, I think what's, I was absolutely the same as Dee and was going, oh, I can't watch him just get revenge on other people. But there is this dark sense of humour. And as this unfolds, because it's about a drug syndicate that has taken over this fictional town in Colorado, and the film actually explores all these deeply dysfunctional characters that are in the drug syndicate, that are affected by the drug syndicate. So it becomes like Fargo in the sense that you're examining a small town drama and all the weird and wonderful characters within, not just Liam Neeson's character. I will say, like, Liam Neeson, I've been reading reviews saying, oh, it's some of the best acting he's done in years. He's not acting like he is. It's a Taken style performance
from him.
Has
just become a sort of a walking cliche that he brings single transferable acting style to every movie he's doing at present?
I think recently, yeah. But I mean, I think in Widows, for example, he put in a very compelling performance, and it was quite a nasty character, and you could say that there were some similarities, but he brought a depth to that character. But I think he doesn't have to do a lot of acting in this film, because it's more about the other characters. Mm-hmm. It's more about the drama, it's more about the connections. And I think, yeah, it absolutely does. It's sometimes unintentionally funny, like there were a lot of deaths and I didn't know if I should be laughing and felt quite bad. But then it does, it gets quite meta, it gets quite quirky. Anytime a character dies, there's kind of a title card with their name and a crucifix, and it has these Coen brother touches. So it is actually, it's poking fun at itself, and in a way poking fun at the type of films that Liam Neeson has made for the past 10 years and we're all getting bored of, which makes it kind of enjoyable.
Is it recommended to watch?
I would think so. Yeah, I had a lot of fun watching this movie in that, exactly like Ro was saying there, in that it was kind of self-referential and cheeky. And what I really enjoyed about it was I expected this to be kind of, you know, just going through the motions of a typical action movie, but it's actually constantly surprising you. You don't know where it's going to go next. In fact, Liam Neeson actually features so little in this film. There's much more attention on kind of the bad guys and their relationships, and they're these kind of over the top stereotypical characters that you can't stop laughing at, even though they're doing these horrible messed up things. And there's a lot of attention given to kind of the police officers who are investigating all of these like crazy weird things that are happening. So at the end of the day, I actually found this to be a really entertaining film. I found it to be compelling and really just kind of an interesting new type of take on the action movie. And I think that a lot of that also was helped by the fact that this came from actually a Norwegian director, and I think that he brings that kind of, you know, Nordic aesthetic
because
to
it's
it as
a remake,
well.
Isn't it, of a Norwegian movie?
It's actually a remake of his own movie.
So there is a sense of he's honing it. He is kind of amping up some of the action.
Because he's a bigger budget probably to do it with.
He's a bigger budget, and it also it's taking audience into account, right? It's taking American audiences into account that are so au fait with these kind of tropes that you can play them up in a different way. So I think he's injecting a little bit more black humour. But it's the type of film, I was saying, not fair. This is the type of film where the bad guys are called Speedo, Limbo and Santa, which is just so ridiculous. It's kind of fun.
Okay. On the Basis of Sex is a sort of a biopic of the Supreme Court judge in the United States, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Felicity Jones stars in this with Armie Hammer and Justin Theroux and Kathy Bates. Let's hear a scene in which she tells an interview, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, played by Felicity Jones, about the difficulties she's faced while trying to find a job.
Graduating top of your class, law review at Harvard and Columbia. I didn't even know that was possible.
Thank you, Mr. Green. I've worked hard.
What, you on some white shoe firm? Big money cases, complex legal maneuvers?
No, I think Bibler and Green is the perfect fit. You handled the Mercer bankruptcy last year.
Come on. How many have you been to? They all turned you down, right? How many? Like 10?
12.
A woman, a mother, and a Judah boot. I'm surprised that many let you through the door.
One sent me to interview for the secretarial pool. Another told me I'd be too busy at bake sales to be effective. One partner closes clients in the locker room at his club, so he said I'd be out of the loop. Last week, I was told women are too emotional to be lawyers. Then that same afternoon, that a woman graduating top of her class must be a real ballbuster and wouldn't make a good colleague. I was asked when I'd have my next baby, and whether I keep Shabbat. One interviewer told me I had a sterling resume, but they hired a woman last year, and what in the world would they want with two of us?
You must be livid.
Okay, tell us about it. Roll.
So this is about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who has become such a cultural icon, and I think her relevance is now starting to be felt outside of America. And there's been a Netflix documentary. There was a documentary released earlier this year that did incredibly well in the States. So this is now the kind of inevitable biopic. So Felicity Jones plays Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and it's really about her early career and her early life. So it starts off with her becoming one of only 9 women in Harvard law class in 1956, where at an orientation dinner, all the women are asked to stand up and explain why they're taking the place of a man. And it charts her career, her relationship with Marty, her husband, who gets testicular cancer when they're in college. So she, apart from taking care of him and their young child, also takes on a double class load to ensure that he doesn't fall behind. But she struggles, as we heard in the clip, she struggles to get a job and so starts teaching law until Marty, who's working as a tax lawyer, throws a tax case at her where a male caregiver who's taking care of his elderly mother is denied an IRS tax deduction because he's a man, and the law assumes and is written down as if all caregivers could be women. So Ruth Bader Ginsburg takes this case to court to argue that this is gender discrimination on the basis that she believes if she can prove that men can be discriminated against under, you know, discriminatory laws, she can also then change the law for women. So the first half is kind of setting up a biopic and their life together and about her struggles, and then the second half is a courtroom drama.
I saw the trailer in the cinema for this last Sunday evening. It all looked a bit dull.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say with this film, the thing that I felt the most about it was that it's a missed opportunity because it's based on Ruth Bader Ginsburg's career. And I mean, she's just done such phenomenal, phenomenal work. She's now the Associate Justice of the Supreme Court in the US. She was a major advocate for the advancement of gender equality and women's rights. She won a number of cases before the Supreme Court, and this kind of just follows just pretty much her very first kind of big case that she dealt with. But I just think that she had such a fascinating career that I would have loved to see that delved into more. And even like just before you get to the credits of the film, they kind of show the end titles and they explain all these things that she did. And I was like, well, I would have loved to see a movie that kind of, you know, addressed all of those things and seen an exploration of that. I suppose the documentary kind of did that arguably. Now, I will say that Felicity Jones was incredible in this film. I think that, well, if it's not her career best, then it's definitely up there. And I think that we're going to see big, big things from her in the future. Definitely she's going to get another Oscar nomination, I think. But as well, the second thing that kind of annoyed me about this film was that it played out very much like a cliched courtroom drama, especially when you get to the finale and all of those, you know, motivational lines and how kind of pompous and full of bravado it gets. So, yeah, I was a bit disappointed by it.
OK, so what is going to win at the Oscars and what should win? All right, how much time we have here? Let's start with Best Picture. What should win, Ro? What will win?
I think Roma probably should win. I would say if Beale Street Could Talk should be up there. It should win.
I saw it last Sunday night.
Really?
I was bored with this bite.
I loved it. I thought it was masterful. I genuinely did. I think Roma should win. I'm very scared. I think Green Book is going to get it. And I'm very
scared.
Which
I quite liked.
And I'm going to be upset. But you can like something. Okay, if you like it, that's fine. But things don't deserve Oscars automatically.
I think is the best movie. I thought that was just so imaginative.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
I think
great.
The fact that Olivia Colman has won acting awards has pushed it forward slightly in terms of the odds, but I'm very scared it's going to be Green Book.
I actually think that The Favourite could win Best Picture, and I'll tell you why,
right?
The
Favourite is?
For Best Picture.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why.
I thought you meant The Favourite. Sorry, The Favourite. Great. Sorry, excuse me.
No, the reason why I think that this could actually surprise everyone and take Best Picture is because there have been quite a few haters for the likes of Bohemian Rhapsody, Green Book. Even there's kind of a sense of disinterest around Roma or something. And I think people, as much as I love A Star Is Born and would love to see it win, I think that there's kind of just a boredom associated with that film, that there's been too much hype about it.
It was out too early, was it?
Yeah, and that as well. So I think that The Favourite might just win. And I think the other thing about that film is is that it appeals to everyone, in that people who are just looking for kind of an entertaining comedy, it appeals to them. And then for people who are looking for something like slightly more artistic and auteuristic, it appeals to that audience as well. So like I said, I actually think that that could have a good shot. And if not, then I think that Yorgos Lanthimos could win for Best Director if it doesn't win Best Film.
And just on Best Picture, to give the Academy some credit, like, they did give it to Moonlight when La La Land was absolute favourite, and they gave it to The Shape of Water, which is objectively a very weird film. So I think the injection of kind of new and more diverse Academy members might push it forward. I'm scared.
Okay. Best Actor. You're scared by this as well.
I'm also scared of this.
The expected that it'll be Rami Malek playing Freddie Mercury. Here's the scene in which he tells the rest of Queen that he has AIDS, and there's a language warning for this.
Sorry. Sound like shit. You all are lovely. Sound good. My throat feels like a vulture's crotch.
You still got a week.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we're in a good place, Fred. You just need a bit of rest, that's all.
Yeah.
You get a drink, Roger?
Yeah, there's a nice little pub down the road, actually.
Can I come?
No, exclusive.
Of course not.
Invite only.
Yeah, it's kind of you.
Before you leave, could I have a second?
Yeah. What's up?
I've got it.
Got what?
AIDS. I wanted you to hear it from me.
Fred, I'm so sorry.
Brian, stop. Don't. But right now, it's between us, all right? Just us. So please, if any of you fuss about it or frown about it, or worst of all, if you bore me with your sympathy, that's just seconds wasted. Seconds that could be used making music, which is all I want to do with the time I have left. I don't have time to be their victim, their AIDS poster boy, their cautionary tale. No, I decide who I am. I'm going to be what I was born to be, a performer who gives the people what they want. Freddie fucking Mercury.
Cliche checklist.
I find
bingo card.
Listening to it excruciating. There's now a clip that's kind of famous going around on Twitter showing how bad the editing is. I thought this was a bad film. I think Rami Malek is a very talented and interesting actor. I would look forward to him getting an Oscar in the future. It should not be for this role. Also, Ethan Hawke absolutely should have been nominated for First Reformed. That was like the male performance of the year for me.
What about you? What do you think, T?
I think that Rami Malek is going to win. And I do think that he does give a really good performance in Bohemian Rhapsody. And another thing that I would add to that is, it wouldn't be the first time that a really good performance, like standing out against a very mediocre film, would have won. I mean, I think one of the most famous examples of that would be like Meryl Streep for The Iron Lady and stuff.
Sure.
So that might help push him forward as well. The one who I think should win actually is Bradley Cooper for A Star Is Born, because I just think he does such an incredible job at, you know, portraying an alcoholic who is just descending more and more into depression. I think that that was such an amazing, compelling performance. That's who I'd like to see win, but I would say
I wouldn't be mad if Christian Bale got it for Dick Cheney, because I just found that performance
that too,
so entertaining. But this shows
how I was disappointed in Vice, I have to say.
I know you were disappointed in the film, and I understand those criticisms.
I thought it was too heavy-handed.
But did you not think he was fantastic, though?
I thought Amy Adams was fantastic.
She's always incredible.
Yeah, she was brilliant, I thought, in playing his wife. Okay, Best Actress. Apparently Glenn Close. The favourite, is she?
She is, yeah. Okay. I mean, she is actually the actress who has received more nominations than any other actress ever. So, I mean, I think it is her day. And she's been winning a bunch of awards already. So I think it'll go to her.
She's been a guest in this programme. She was a lovely person to interview. Here she is as Joan Castleman, the gifted, overlooked, patronised wife of writer Joe Castleman, played by Jonathan Pryce, who has just won the Nobel Prize for Literature.
Where have you been? I've been worried sick about you.
Why? It's only 4:30.
Yeah, but look how dark it is already. Don't do this to me. Don't disappear on me like this.
I didn't disappear. I went out for a couple of hours.
So what have you been doing all day?
I walked around, went into a couple of stores, looked in a couple of shops. How did the rehearsal go?
Terry, you've been smoking. I can smell it.
I went into a cafe and it was filled with smoke. Ugh.
You've been drinking too?
Yeah, I had a vodka.
In the middle of the day?
Yes, Joe, in the middle of the day.
You know, Johnny, you can't be doing this. You can't be showing up at functions with alcohol on your breath.
You are the star of the big show, so why would anyone possibly care?
What the hell has gotten into you?
I don't like to be lectured to. I'm not a child. Oh, God damn it, Joe.
What?
Are, Are you going to stop throwing your clothes all over the floor? I am so sick and tired of picking it up after you. What's up?
I got hungry. I bought some walnuts.
Let me see it.
It's just a walnut.
Can I see it?
What are you talking about? Can I see
it? Give it to me.
Don't be ridiculous.
Give it to me. So, while I was out being a drunken lush, you were seducing the luscious Linnea?
Nothing happened.
Oh, don't you dare insult my intelligence. Don't you dare.
Who might win if she doesn't?
Olivia Colman, I think. I think because The Favourite is getting so much attention, because the wife isn't getting much attention outside of Glenn Close's performance, so in terms of the Academy.
Best supporting actress, would it be Rachel Weisz or Emma Stone, who were both brilliant in The Favourite?
Oh, no, I think it's going to be Regina King.
I think Regina King as well.
If Beale Street could talk, I think it's absolutely her year. And I think the Academy, like, it is rare that they award one person when there are two people from the same film nominated.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be quite, like, fair about it. But I think it's Regina King.
See, I would tend to think that The Favourite is going to win all the technical categories. And like I said, could win, for director or best picture. But I don't think it'll win the acting categories.
Is Melissa McCarthy up for an Oscar? Can You Ever Forgive Me?
She is.
She's
brilliant.
It's a great movie.
She's superb, yeah. But I think it's going to be Glenn Close this year.
Is Richard E. Grant in the running for Best Supporting Actor?
I think it's going to be Mahershala Ali for Green Book.
I wish it was Richard E. Grant. I really wanted to be him.
He is fantastic.
I do wish Brian Tyree Henry had been nominated for If Beale Street Could Talk, but I do think it's going to be Mahershala Ali.
And I would love to see it go to Sam Elliott for A Star Is Born, just because he's had such a phenomenal career. But if I were to put my money on it...
I think you'd have to stick with the singing Oscars for A Star Is Born. Yeah, listeners, Roma was very boring, all static panning shots. Another one. It's the film version of The Emperor's New Clothes. It's awful. Just because some film snobs say it's amazing with the most convoluted critics doesn't make it any good.
That's Roma.
There you go.
Strong feelings, okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Roma McDermott and Deirdre Malumbi, for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.